Bible really helpful to turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, I'm going to commence to read in a moment at verse 22. We've been working our way through Exodus. That's for those who are a visitor here. We weren't in Exodus last Sunday. Last Sunday was our Children's Day, our family service. But 2 weeks ago, we were in this chapter. We were in Exodus chapter 16. And it's the great story of how God provided for his people in the wilderness. They're traveling from Egypt out of slavery towards the promised land. They're in a desert. There's no food. And God provides in a miraculous way. He gives them quail, these meat birds to eat, and also every morning they would wake up and there was bread, there was manna lying on the ground as well. And that's what we focused on 2 weeks ago. We read this section, verses 22 down to verse 30. We read it, but we didn't look at it. We skipped over it, and I want to come back and I want to focus on it because this section deals with the Sabbath. In fact, this is the first time in Scripture you find the word Sabbath, where God's people were instructed to take a day of rest. They weren't to gather food on a certain day. And this morning, as we focus on this, I want to tackle this question here. Is the Sabbath still relevant for us? I think we are a generation that doesn't know what to do with the Sabbath. We think back by me, generation before, how did we treat this day here, Lord's Day? Did we treat it as special, treat it differently? I don't think we know how to deal with it. I don't think we think a lot about it. A lot of people are unsure. And so we want to do something a little bit differently from our normal preaching here this morning. Normally, I do expositional preaching where I work through a passage. We look at verses. Today, we're going to go a little bit more topical because I think it's a topic I've never preached on this. Never tackled this in my 4.5 years here. I think there's a lot of people uncertain about what do you do on a day like today? How do we act? How do we behave? How does it look differently from other days? And so we want to spend a bit of time just delving into this topic, which is certainly in Scripture, so we don't want to skip over it. So let's take some time and let's read God's words. Exodus 16, let's commence to read at verse 22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them. And it did not stink, and there was no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. For 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Amen. When I was a child, Sunday was certainly a special day in our house. And it was certainly a different day, very different, because it was a day of rest. We went to church, not once, not twice, 3 times. We went to our morning service, got our Sunday lunch into us, sprinted back down to church for 3 o'clock Sunday school, and then we were back for the evening service as well. It was a special day because we had a special lunch. Our best meal of the week was always Sunday lunchtime, and it was a day of rest. We rested from television. It was never switched on. We rested from sport, and we rested from schoolwork as well. We weren't allowed to finish our homeworks on a Sunday. I was keen on the last bit. Resting from schoolwork, that was great. Resting from TV, resting from sport when you're sports mad, that was a different challenge. And maybe many of you can identify with growing up in a home like that. Perhaps for our younger people, our youth here, that seems a wee bit alien, okay? Maybe things are not today as they were for my generation, we were growing up, and certainly for older generations as well. But does Sabbath observance belong to a bygone generation? Is it an old-fashioned relic from the past, or is it relevant today? Now, the concept of Sabbath is certainly found in Scripture. But how do we handle it today? We are not the children of Israel wandering in the desert. We are the church. We take our lead from the New Testament. How do we handle this? Is it something we view as boring and restrictive? Or is the Sabbath a blessing from God to his people? What does the Bible say? That's where we need to go. And usually when we think about the Sabbath, what's the passage we go to? Usually we associate it with the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments that we learned probably as children as well. So the Ten Commandments are given just a few chapters across. You've got your Bible open. It's maybe helpful to go there. Exodus chapter 20. We're familiar with many of these commandments. Shall not murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness. But what does it say? Exodus 20. Let's pick it up at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's often where we go. We go to the Ten Commandments, but the concept of a Sabbath actually appears a lot earlier in Scripture. In fact, it appears right at the start. It appears in the second chapter of our book. It goes right back to the story of creation, because God made the world. He made the world in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, he rested. It doesn't use the word Sabbath, but let me read this verse. Verse from Genesis 2 and verse 3. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So God sets this example, works for 6 days, and then he rests on the seventh. And when we come to the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 that I've just read, where does he take it to? He takes it back to creation. Here is an example that we follow. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because it goes back to creation. God worked for 6 days, and then he rested. So what is the commandment? The fourth commandment actually telling us to do, it's telling us to imitate God. It sets the example back in creation. Now, the first time the word Sabbath appears in Scripture, I've already said, is here in Exodus chapter 16. And God's children of Israel, as they leave Egypt, are instructed to observe one day. Don't work on that day. Don't go out collecting all the food. This is a day to rest. Now, what it involved was gathering double food the day before. So the Sabbath for them was a Saturday, the last day of the week. On the Friday, they went out, and God had provided more manna than they needed for one day. There was a double dose, and so they collected twice as much. Miraculously, God sent manna every day. It was a miracle. Every day they had this miracle. Miraculously, he sent double on the Friday. And miraculously, he actually kept the manna fresh overnight. See, any other day of the week, if you collected double and tried to store it up for the next day, when they woke up, what happened? Well, Exodus 16 tells us that the food had gone off. You couldn't store it up. There was fresh blessing every day from God. But miraculously, on that Sabbath, the food was kept. It was a blessing from God's people. So what actually happened on the Sabbath as they traveled through the wilderness? God took a break. God rested because he didn't send the food. Every day God sent the manna, every morning a fresh supply, but on the Sabbath day God rested from sending the manna. And the people rested from gathering it up. Now that was completely countercultural for its day. No other culture in the ancient world took a day of rest. Previously God's people had been in Egypt. Pharaoh never took a day off in seven. Pharaoh was a slave driver, and he was a cruel slave driver, and he worked his people, his slaves, hard every day. God's children would not have had a day of rest in Egypt. And here they come out of slavery, into freedom, and what does their God command them to do? Take a day of rest. What does that highlight? It highlights the difference between God and Pharaoh. That's what the book of Exodus has been showing us. Pharaoh thought he was God. He was a false god. Yahweh, the God of Israel, was the real, true, living God. We've had all these contrasts in the plagues, and as he takes them out through the water, and we see the contrast here in this day of rest. Pharaoh was a cruel taskmaster. What do we see in the Lord? He is compassionate, and he's caring for his people. And the purpose of the Sabbath was to bless his people. The main blessing was a day of physical rest. Don't go out, working, doing those jobs you normally do, take a day in seven to rest. And also then when the children came into the promised land, they built a temple, they built synagogues. The Sabbath also became a day of worship. It was a day when they went and they worshipped God as well. Now, the Jews were not good at observing the Sabbath. God gives them these commandments here in Exodus 16, then in Exodus 20 and the Ten Commandments. They weren't good at obeying what God had asked them to do. And we find two extremes in Bible times. Often to the Old Testament, they failed to observe a Sabbath. They treated it like any other day. They did their business. They sold things. They went about it. And you wouldn't have seen a difference between the other 6 days in the week. And God gave them lots and lots of warnings about that. Why? Because they were acting like all the other nations. They were acting like all the other pagan nations who worked all the time. No, you need to take a Sabbath. You need to take a day of rest, taking us back to creation and God's example. Now, when we come into the time of Jesus in the New Testament, we find the other extreme, because we find a group of religious zealots called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were obsessed with the Sabbath. They were obsessed with observing it. And what they had done is they had taken God's word and they'd added all these rules, they'd added all these regulations, what you could do, and more importantly, what you could not do on the Sabbath day. And by the time Jesus is born here on earth, instead of being a blessing, the Sabbath has actually become a bind and has become a burden to the people. Now, Jesus was somebody who observed the Sabbath. He observed the Sabbath when he lived here on earth, but not how the Pharisees would want him to do it. And so he provoked a lot of reaction. A lot of the stories from the Gospels are about the Pharisees reacting to how Jesus behaved on the Sabbath day. Luke's Gospel tells us that he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath as was his custom. Jesus worshipped God, his Father, in the synagogue every Sabbath day, as was his custom. Not when he felt like it. Every week there was a routine where he used the Sabbath day to worship his Father. But he didn't rest on the Sabbath day from being compassionate to other people. And so there are 6 accounts in the Gospels where Jesus heals people on the Sabbath day. Speaks to them, touches them, restores their health. And he faced lots of criticism for the Pharisees because of that. And he answered them in this way here. Words from Mark 2 and 27. He says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You have made the Sabbath into something that it's not." He criticizes the Pharisees. In other words, the Sabbath was given to mankind, to humans, as a help, as a benefit, designed to be a blessing to them and not a bind to them instead. But we need to come back to this question I posed right at the start. Is the Sabbath still relevant for us today? Some people would say no. The Sabbath, as we see it in the Bible, as we see it in the Old Testament, and even in the life of Christ, it is not relevant for us today because we are not Bible time Jews. We are not the children of Israel. This was given as part of Old Testament law. Old Testament law is not binding for a New Testament church. People will say we are not under law, we are under grace. And because we are no longer under the law, we're under grace, this does not apply to us. Jesus Christ fulfilled the demands of the law. He was the perfect human, God in human flesh, who kept the law in all his ways. And we today are saved not by keeping the law, not by ticking off the Ten Commandments. Yes, we've kept that. Yes, we've kept that. We are not saved by that, thankfully, because none of us can keep the law. We are all law breakers. We are not saved by keeping the law. We are saved by grace, through faith, on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus Christ cried out on the cross, "It is finished," there's nothing more we can do. It's not up to our performance, our law keeping. We are saved by grace, through faith in what Jesus Christ for us. And so some would say, as a result of that, because we're under grace through faith, we are no longer obligated to keep the Sabbath. Also, nowhere in the New Testament is the church directly instructed to observe the Sabbath day. In fact, Paul tells the church in Colossae, in his letter in the Colossians, not to let anyone judge them with regard to Sabbath days. So obviously there was an issue. What days people were keeping as a Sabbath day. He says, don't let anyone judge you with regard to Sabbath day. So does that mean that the Sabbath is now irrelevant for us, people living in 2017? I don't think so. I think the Sabbath is still relevant. Let me explain that. Yes, Jesus came to fulfill the law, but the Sabbath actually predates the law. Sabbath came before the law was given to the children of Israel. Sabbath is part of creation. And so when we keep one day, a day of rest, a special day, we are actually imitating God, who took a day of rest in the act of creation. And when God set that in place, right at creation, who was he giving that to? Was he giving it to the children of Israel? No, he was giving it to all of humanity. He was setting an example for all people. He made the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. It's like marriage. Marriage finds its roots in creation. So right at the start, in those opening chapters of Genesis, it tells us that God made first man and he made the first woman. He brought them together in marriage, and he gives us this great instruction that a man shall leave his mother and his father, cleave together with a woman. And so we find the ordinance of marriage there right in creation. And we also find there this day of rest as well. And so marriage isn't just for Christians. Marriage isn't just a Christian service or institution as such. Marriage is something given by God to all humanity. Some people say to me, you're a minister, I can perform weddings. I have that power from our state here to perform legal weddings in this country. People have said to me, you should not marry people who are not Christians. So if two non-Christians come to you and say, do you marry them? You should say, no. I disagree with that. Because marriage isn't a Christian thing. Yes, Christians should be married. It has its roots in what's given to all humanity. And so if two non-Christians came to me and said, can you marry us? Absolutely. I want you married. I want you married following the example given by God to all humanity in the book of Genesis. I will sit down. I'll teach them what Christian marriage looks like. I will share Christ with a couple. Do I want them living together without being... No, I want them joined together in marriage, because that is God's plan. That is God's design for his creation, for humanity. And Sabbath finds its roots in that as well. In Exodus 16, which I read this morning, God instructed the children of Israel coming out of Egypt to take a day of rest. What's interesting? That's 4 chapters before he gives the law in Mount Sinai. So before he's even given the law, the commandments to his children, he's telling them, teaching them to take a day of rest. So what do we do with the commandments today? What is the purpose of the law? The commandments is the moral law that God has given to us. Christ died on the cross. It will never save us by keeping the law. What do we do with the commandments today? Well, the commandments are a bit like a mirror. When you look into a mirror, you see what you're exactly like. And that's the point of the moral law, the commandments that God has given to us. When we look at it, we see what we're really like and how we fall short. How miserably we fall short of God's perfect standards. And what do the commandments do? They drive us to a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. They show us we fall short and we need someone to save us. And God has provided that person in the Son, Christ Jesus. But it doesn't mean that the law is no longer irrelevant for us. We don't throw the moral law, the Ten Commandments, away. Think about other commandments. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do we turn around to those and say, irrelevant? We're not under law, we're under grace. We don't need these commandments. I can go out and steal. I can go out and commit adultery. I can go out and murder someone. No. The moral law, the commandments, can't save us. But it's still relevant for us today. Christ came not to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law, is what he said himself. Do you know the purpose of the commandments? It teaches God's children how to live a godly life. The commandments won't save us. They're not for our salvation. Christ is our Savior. But they're good for our sanctification. It shows us the things that please God in the way that we live our lives. It shows us how we should act in relation to God. We should worship God alone. It shows us how we act towards our family. My wife is sitting down here. What does the commandment say to me? Don't commit adultery. Be faithful to your wife. Teaches me how to act towards my neighbors. I'm not going to steal from them. I'm not going to kill my neighbor. And so it shows us how to live godly lives. Not for salvation, that's Christ, but for our sanctification. But often we look upon the Sabbath as a bind and not a blessing. Perhaps you grew up in a very restrictive home when it came to Sunday observance. Lists of don'ts, things you weren't allowed to do, things that you'll never find in the Bible. And maybe that's your view. Maybe that's clouded your view on the Sabbath. And many have reacted against that. Many people today treat all days the same. But sometimes I think we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. We've reacted maybe to what was restrictive in the past, and we've thrown the Sabbath out, and we lose the physical and the spiritual blessings that come from observing a Sabbath day. Many view the Sabbath as an irrelevance, part of a dull, old-fashioned world when nothing opened and swings were chained up. But I want to suggest this morning. I want to suggest that we need the Sabbath today probably more than ever. Not one that's a legalistic bind, but one that's a blessing to God's people. Why do I say that we perhaps need the Sabbath more than ever? Because our world is frantic today. We have busy lives that are crammed full. Our lives are full of work, and when we get home from work, our lives are full of our family demands. And I think my generation, my age group here, there's quite a few of us sitting out here, we are exhausted. We have crammed our lives, and I am guilty of this as anybody else here. In fact, often when people talk to me and say, "How are you, Peter?" I will answer with this one word, busy. And we pride ourselves in this. Oh, we're busy. We're out and we're doing stuff. We've crammed our lives. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're doing all these things for our kids. We're running here. We're running there. And we are busy. We rarely rest. We rarely sit still. And our lives are stretched in every direction. I know a number of Christian counselors. In fact, I was talking to one last Sunday. If you want to train for a job that will always be in demand, there are two options. An undertaker, never out of work. And counselors these days as well. And I spoke to this Christian counselor last Sunday evening, asking them about their work. Jam-packed. Always a huge waiting list. And they said to me, "Do you know what it is? It's people your age who are burnt out and stressed. They have filled their lives with all these things, and they are burnt out and stressed." We're a generation who have and hold, maybe drop the Sabbath, a concept of rest, of setting deliberately a day aside. Now, I'm not saying this is the reason why, the only reason why all these people are burnt out and stressed. There's lots of factors for that. But we are the generation that need a day of rest. But how do Christians, how should we keep the Sabbath? Well, let's deal with one big issue. Which day should you keep if you're going to keep a Sabbath? Because the Jews, it was a Saturday, but for us, this isn't a Saturday today, unless we've turned up a day late. We are meeting on a Sunday. Why? Where did this all come about? There is no direct instruction in the New Testament which says the Sabbath has now become a Sunday. But the early church started to meet, they started to worship God on a Sunday. Why did they start to do that? They talks about it as the Lord's Day. It was a special day for them. Do you know why it was a special day? Because it was on a Sunday that their Savior Jesus Christ rose again. It was also a Sunday when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, the start as such of the early church. And so Sunday became a special day for them. It was a new day with a new name. They call it the Lord's Day. That's a phrase you will find in the New Testament. And it was interesting for them. Because let's think about it. The church started to meet on the Sunday, the Lord's Day, but that was actually a day of work for them. If you're a member of the church in Jerusalem, part of the early church, you had the Saturday off. That was the Jewish Sabbath. On the Sunday, you were back to work. But it was still the day they met as the church. They probably met in the evenings after a day of work. And it possibly caused a bit of friction. Between the Jewish and the Gentile Christians. The devout Jews who become Christians, Mary thought, "No, Saturday, that's our special day." And then you have these Gentiles in these different cities that Paul and his friends have been reaching. They've established churches, and they're meeting on a Sunday. And there's maybe a bit of friction here. And that's possibly why Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, "Don't let anyone judge you because of your Sabbath days, what day you are meeting on." Who's writing these? Paul. a devout Jew, a Jew who would have been brought up a Pharisee with all these lists and regulations of what you could and don't do. And now he's writing to a church to say, don't let anyone judge you on which day you are using as your Sabbath day. The Apostle Paul didn't have an issue with that. And so the church started to have this example of meeting on the first day of the week, the Sunday. By the end of the first century, it had become the norm across all the churches. And by the third century, time Emperor Constantine had come on the scene, he actually legalized that, so people didn't work on a Sunday, and it was a day given over as a Sabbath day. And that tradition lives on today in Christian countries, if you want to call our culture and society, very small C if you want to call it a Christian country. But most people are off work today. That has continued on. And that's why we meet today on a Sunday, because it's a good practical day. Yes, we remember the Lord rising from the dead. We remember the Holy Spirit coming on a Sunday as well. But most of you are off work. If we were to put our Sunday service on at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, I don't think we'd have as many people out, would we? And so this is a good day to meet on. But let's not be legalistic about it. Apostle Paul said in Colossians, don't let anybody judge you on the Sabbath day. If you go to Bangladesh, you will not find the churches open today on a Sunday. The churches in Bangladesh do not meet on a Sunday. Why not? Because that is a Muslim state. And in a Muslim state, Friday is the day of rest. And so the churches say, well, this is the day we're off. Let's make that our holy, special day. The church in Bangladesh meets on a Friday. And that's okay. They are meeting. What's the most important thing? It's the principles. The spiritual principle is the main thing. And so they take one day in Bangladesh, which is a special day, a day of rest, and a day of worship as well. The spiritual principle is the main thing. Now, as we finish this morning, how should we view the Lord's Day? What are the principles? Some of you would love me to give you a list of what you can't do and what you can do. That would be like acting like the Pharisees, because the Bible doesn't give that. So I think when we think, how should we behave on a Sabbath day, on a day like the Lord's Day, let's go for biblical principles. I want to give you three biblical principles. It's a day of rest. The Sabbath rest is God's gift to us. It's a demonstration of his care. Humans can't keep going. It was like the land, and when we came into the promised land, they were told to do something with the promised land. They had to farm it for a number of years, and the seventh year, they had to give the farm a rest. It was a Sabbath for the land, because God knew you can't just keep going farming the land. It won't be effective anymore. It needs a rest. And he knows that humans, as like us, need a rest as well. God knew this. That's why he ordained it. Rest is not a luxury. Rest is a necessity for people like us. Rest is not a luxury, it's a necessity. We are like elastic bands. We're very flexible, and we can be stretched in many directions, and we're capable of lots of things, but if you keep stretching that elastic band, what will happen? It'll snap. And we are like that physically. If we keep getting stretched, we will snap. We will break emotionally or physically. Actually, taking a rest makes us more productive. Research has found that. And so we need to actively pursue a rest day. And that requires us to be intentional. You will easily fill 7 days of the week with activity, doing things, and you will be wrecked as a result. It requires being intentional. I'm going to take one day, following God's example, to rest and to relax. It requires forward planning. Think of the children of Israel. They had a day of rest, but they had to do a bit of planning the day before. They had to collect twice as much food. They had to do practical jobs, which meant they didn't have to run around doing those things the following day. If you're not intentional, you will soon fill your day of rest with endless activity. And so it requires planning. Make preparations. Be intentional. I want to take this day to rest with my family. So physically, I will be in better shape to work productively in the rest of the week. Maybe you need to finish off practical jobs the day before so they're not hanging over you. Maybe you need to get things organized so you can sit down, spend some time, and rest properly. Maybe sometimes you might need to take another day. For me, Sunday is my busiest day. Okay, I get up earlier on a Sunday than I do any other day. and I don't go to bed till late on a Sunday. It's a busy day, and anybody who preaches, you know, just it's very mentally exhausting as well. I work throughout a Sunday. It is not a day of rest. In fact, I feel shattered. On a Sunday evening, I collapse on the sofa beside Joanne. So I need to be very intentional, because I can just easily fill the rest of the week. I need to take a day where I get physical rest. That is God's care for me. And perhaps for some of you, there's job requirements, there's things that you need to then another day take a day of rest. So it's a day of rest. It's also a day of faith. God wanted his people to take a day off each week as a demonstration that they were trusting in him. The children of Israel each week had a test of faith. God provided food on the 6 days. Here's their test of faith. Will God provide enough food to keep us going on the Sabbath day? Will our God provide double the amount? Can we trust God to meet our needs on that day off? God has promised to provide for his people. What did Jesus say? Do not be anxious. Don't be anxious. Look how God looks after the animals. God will provide for his people. We don't need to work every day to survive. God will provide. Do you know what Sabbath means? It means there is enough bread. God will care for his people. We don't need to work every day. Let me give you a little example of this here. I have a friend, also called Peter. I met him a number of years ago on some beach missions teams, spent some summers with him on beach mission teams. And about 10 years ago, he opened up a car garage selling cars in Scotland, selling Vauxhall cars. And when he opened his car garage 10 years ago, 2007, start of a recession, things are difficult there, not a wise time to open a garage. He opened it, and he kept it open on a Sunday because all his competitors were doing that. And in Scotland on a Sunday, that's a day lots of people drive, oh, fancy a new car, we'll go to the showroom, we're off work, we've got time, we'll take a car out. A lot of business is done on a Sunday, and so he felt, if I don't keep my garage open on Sunday, I will not survive in business. But he felt very convicted about this, committed Christian. He said, well, I'm not getting to church, it's not good for me. My workers who want to go to church can't get there. We're not getting a day of rest. This is not a good principle. And so he decided to close his garage on a Sunday. And everybody told him in business, you are mad. You will not survive. You will not survive if you close your doors, because all your competitors will pick up that trade when your gates are closed on that day. You will not survive. You're trying to take care of your workers. How can you take care of your workers when they've lost their job when you close in a few months' time? That year, when he started closing on Sunday, he won the award for the top sales of any car garage in Scotland. God will provide the bread. And actually, last year, the Times newspaper puts a section out every year where they list the top 20 businesses, the best businesses to work for as an employee in the UK. So if you're an employee, what's the best business to work for? They'll look after you as an employee. And last year he was listed in the top 20 in the whole UK. Why? Basic Christian principles. You give your people a day of rest, and he also cares for his staff. God will provide the bread. We don't need to work every day that God has given to us. It is also a day of worship. Jesus worshiped on the Sabbath. The early church put a day aside each week, the Lord's Day. It was the main gathering of the church. And it's also a day to refresh us. Yes, it refreshes us physically, but God has given us a day to refresh our souls. And so we join together, we look back and remember what Christ has done for us. It refreshes our souls. We look around and we listen to what God has been doing around the world. We listen to Dave Ramsey tell us about the churches in Peru, and that refreshes our souls. And when we meet together as a church, we look forward. We look forward to a day when Jesus Christ will come again and we will enter into perfect rest. And we will be with Christ forever and ever. And so it's a day of worship where we meet together, our faith is refreshed, we listen to God's word, we sing together, we pray together, we enjoy fellowship. And if we neglect this, what happens? We become spiritually tired, and we become spiritually fatigued, and we become spiritually stale. And again, we need to be intentional with our day of worship. Like physical rest, it needs to be a priority. That's why the Apostle Paul, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. The writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10, Do not neglect the meeting together, as some ought to do. Don't neglect assembling together. When the church meets, don't neglect it. Meet together with God's people. Why? It will refresh your souls. It will build you up in your faith. Sadly, for everybody, it's no longer a priority. Some people take the attitude, coming to worship on a Sunday, I'll go to church if there's nothing better to do. If there isn't a sports thing on, if there isn't a family commitment, if there isn't a birthday party here, only if there's nothing better. That is the wrong principle for life. Don't neglect meeting together. Why? Because it is spiritually beneficial. That should be our priority. That's what we do as a family. We get lots of invitations in, lots of requests, especially with our kids, for different things, quite often on Sundays. What is the principle? Do we give our kids a list of do's and don'ts? No, we take this physical principle. Our priority is church. We meet with God's family on a Sunday. Why? Because it's spiritually beneficial for us. Okay? We can go to different things as long as they do not clash with our main priority, which is meeting with God's people. That is our principle. We need to view Sunday worship not as a burden, but as a blessing. And even as we come through the doors, sometimes you think, oh, going to church is a chore. No, come through the door saying, God, refresh my soul. Refresh me as I meet with your people today. Often we complain with no time for personal study or prayer. Why not take time today on the Lord's Day to study God's Word? You don't have all the chores and different things you normally have to do. Why not sit down personally, read the Bible at home this afternoon? Why not pray? You'd say, I've got a family. Great, do it with your family. Why not gather your family, read some verses, and pray together, refresh your souls as a family. As we come to an end here this morning, is the Sabbath still relevant? We live in a culture where many are fatigued, many overworked, many overstressed. Humans, we need a Sabbath rest. Let's not be legalistic about it. Let's not set these rules where not in Scripture. But we need physical and spiritual rest. So I would say this morning, let's make it a principle for our lives. And let's make it a priority in our lives as well. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that we would handle your word in a proper way. We thank you that you're a good and a caring God, and you're interested in our physical rest and our spiritual worship as well. And so we pray that we would make physical rest a priority. We don't want to get burnt out. We don't want to be fatigued. We want to be able to have healthy, productive lives where we can live for you, serve you, be productive in our workplaces, wherever you've called us to be. And so help us to take time for physical rest, to make it a priority, that we might restore our bodies. But we pray also we would use this day, the Lord's Day, as a day for spiritual rest, where we come to be refreshed in our walk with you and in our faith and trust in you. And we pray, Lord God, you would bless us as we take time to rest and to worship you as well. Help us, we pray. Fill us with the Holy Spirit as we live holy lives. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's great name. Amen.